Thank you, Pastor Josh. Appreciate it. If everyone would open their Bibles to Galatians chapter 1, please. And while you're doing that, I'd just like to welcome my very good friend, Art White. We've known each other for many years, and we meet weekly over a cup of coffee and some Bible with some other guys. And just a thank you for showing up, Art. Unsolicited. I appreciate it. So tonight we're going to take a look at the first five verses of Galatians chapter 1. So I'll read those for us. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I do pray that you bless the reading and the study of your word tonight. I pray that as you only can, Lord, I pray that you would apply the word of God to each heart as each heart has need. And we ask it in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. So finish this sentence for me. If you want something done right, do it yourself, right? We know from the Bible that, and studying about Paul, that we know that he's gone through, had several missionary journeys, and everywhere that he goes, he appoints elders and leaders to shepherd the flock. In Acts chapter 14, verse 23, we see this where it says, "And when he had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." So he left people there. And I assume that in Paul's mind, they were what we would call, for those of us who have a military background, what we would call a fire and forget type of leader. Meaning there are two types of weapons in the military. There are the kind that you have to kind of aim, shoot, watch where the round lands, and then readjust and keep on firing. It's a very manual process. That's not a fire and forget. It requires a lot of oversight. A fire and forget weapon is one that you program, you press the button, it launches, and it goes and it does its thing. And I'm sure Paul would have preferred those types of elders to be left in the churches where he preached and established works. But unfortunately for Paul, that's not the case, especially in this chapter, in this book of Galatia, where there were many churches in this region, and all of these churches were coming under the influence of bad doctrine. They were coming under the influence of people who wanted to add, on top of the free salvation that comes through the finished work of Christ, add to that some works, some Jewish tradition, some Jewish law, and say, well, the grace of God is good, but we have other things to put on top of it. The great Galatian churches were straying from the gospel. Paul understood that anything that was added to the gospel was a great evil. He sets out to correct that error and the truth of the gospel in the churches of Galatia. A long time ago, I heard a Southern Baptist preacher preaching on a sermon, and it was on a verse. And you know, Southern Baptist preachers, they'll grab a verse and they'll just go with one verse. And some of that preaching is kind of fun to listen to, and I still enjoy listening to it every once in a while. Definitely not expositional. But this preacher got on the verse. It was, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" And he went on and said, "Can God? God can." I don't remember very much about the message, but I definitely remember that. So Paul is saying that God is in charge, and we're going to see that Paul is saying that God can, and God does do things in a purposeful manner, and it is impossible to thwart his will. God can place you where he wants you to be, as he did with Paul for the furtherance of his gospel. Can God? God can. The first thing we want to take a look at tonight is Paul's apostleship is declared. In verse 1, the beginning, the first part of verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from man nor through man. Paul's appointment to the office of being an apostle wasn't man-made. And this is important, especially with the churches of Galatia, that we consider this, because those that he was arguing against, those that he was about to dispute, those that he was about to debate over the Word of God and the authority of the Word of God and who was right and who was wrong, he is saying right up front that my office is not from man. My office comes from God. The implication is that his office of apostleship wasn't one that he chose for himself. It wasn't one that he said, you know, I think I'd like to do that. What do I got to do? Do I have to go to this school? Do I have to get that certificate? It was something that God placed him in. We see him establishing the authority of his office in several of his letters. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, he says that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. In this particular book, he makes the distinction that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ and not of the will of man. And it's probably because he knows he's about to do battle. He's about to battle for the gospel and the hearts of those who are in the churches of Galatia. Despite his past and his unworthiness, and you can read later in this chapter, he starts talking about how unworthy he was to be an apostle. Starting in verse 13, he starts talking about that. Despite his past and unworthiness, God has used him and placed him in this apostleship for God's own purposes and his own glory. In First Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, Paul's talking to his student, Timothy, his young elder that he placed in churches and who supported him. He said, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Again, it's that idea that, look, God appointed me. God made me who I am. God has given me this authority. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. God took Paul, a man who persecuted the church, who was an enemy of God, and he took him and turned him and placed him where he wanted him to be as one of his chosen apostles, the apostle of the Gentile, the one who wrote under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, most of our New Testament epistles. God can place you and me where he wants you and me to be. Can God do that? God can do that. Young people are very concerned about who will I marry, what school will I go to. And a lot of times we're concerned or we think, I want to marry this person or I fell in love with this person and my heart is chasing after that person. And I think this is what I should do. You know, the old heart is like pitter-pattering. But the heart can override the will. And you think, well, I have to take matters into my own hands. And I need to do what I think is right. And you lose fact. You lose sight of God, who can place you exactly in the center of his will. He can do it. He can find you that spouse. He can find you that person that he has for you to marry. Where will I go to school? You may have desires to go to this school or that school. You may want to study to become a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, a teacher, or I'll put in a plug for project managers. But you know, you don't really need to worry about that. You don't need to worry, can God place me in the right school? Can God give me the right spouse? God can. God can. He did it with Paul, and he can do it with you. This isn't exactly what Paul is talking about, but if it applies to Paul, it certainly applies to us, that God, who is sovereign over all the affairs of men, can take us from where we are and move us to where he wants us. And he can even do it even if we don't want to. You know, there's this guy, Jonah, in the Bible. God said, I need you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, no, I'm not going to Nineveh. He got on a boat, went the opposite direction, but God's plan was different than Jonah's plan. And God took Jonah from where he was and he moved him to where he wanted him to be. But you know, we think that's great for Jonah. We think that's great for others. We don't apply it to us. We think we have to take control of the steering wheel of our own lives because that's just them. This doesn't apply to me. But can God? God can. God can take you from where you are and he can place you where he wants you to be. He's absolutely able and desirous to do that, and he will do that. Paul was outwardly the most unlikely candidate to be an apostle, but God chooses unlikely candidates whom he will work with to work his will, and he will do the same for you and me. Even, you know, we trust him. I mean, it makes things easier, but you know what? God's going to work his own will regardless. Listen, young people especially. You know, one of the strangest things that I find is that we have to make most of life's major decisions prior to our 25th birthday. And when are we least capable of making life's major decisions? It's prior to our 25th birthday. But one thing that I want to assure you of is that God is able to place you where he wants you to be, when he wants you to be there, and he gives you exactly what you need. Please, and our responsibility, I think, in that is just to try to cooperate with him. Paul's confidence and authority centered in the risen Christ. Paul was an apostle not of men, not from men, nor through man, but, he adds, through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Here he brings in Jesus and the gospel, and he's starting to begin to make his argument that we are going to talk about the gospel. And I wasn't chosen by men. You in Galatia may have been chosen by men, but I wasn't chosen by men. I was chosen by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And I think the implication there, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the central crux of that chapter is the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection is central to the gospel. And Paul is saying here that I was chosen by Jesus Christ. And by the way, he is alive. He rose from the dead. We believe as Christians that Jesus, he didn't raise as a spirit. He isn't some ghost out there. He rose bodily. And right now, somewhere in God's creation, in God's being and existence, Jesus Christ is taking up space. He physically arose and he is coming back. And Paul said, that Jesus who rose from the dead is the one who placed me in the office that I'm in. We've established that Paul's apostleship didn't come from man. Who did it come from? It came from the living, bodily, resurrected Jesus. The resurrection was a central theme of all Paul's messages, and it's not a fairy tale. As an aside, we acknowledge our resurrection and our affinity and our belonging as part of the resurrection in our baptism. And it is good to know, it's good to just reflect on our own baptism as we realize that we were buried with Christ in our sins, that he took our sins, and that we are risen with the risen Christ because of his sacrificial death and resurrection. That's just a freebie. We believe that Jesus died and rose from the grave. We ask, can God raise Christ from the grave? Can God? God can, and God did. In Jude chapter 1, verse 2, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all time, now and forever. He has all authority, all power, all dominion, and it is this Jesus that gave Paul the office of apostle. This living Christ is central to Paul's authority, and Paul opens his epistle with this forceful reminder. Paul needed to admonish the churches in Galatia for accepting another gospel. And I think most of us are familiar with the first chapter of Galatians as he rails that it's not another gospel, it's a heresy. And he is going to attack that heresy in this book. His apostolic authority is the basis for him setting things right. He may have said, like he did in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, now I am speaking to you, unto you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. And right now, right at the opening salvo, if you would, Paul is saying, I magnify my ministry. Because he was jealous over the gospel of God. Can God lead you to exactly what you're supposed to do? God can. What has God called you to do? Can God give you? Can God take you there? God can. Can you trust him to bring it to pass? Yes, you can. Don't resist working because he will move you when he wants you to move. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you're going. God can. The next thing I'd like to talk about is we see Paul acknowledging those who are with him, and I love this. The more I've studied this chapter, the next few verses are kind of fun. Next, we see Paul acknowledging those who were with him and to whom he was writing. Let's take a look at verse 2. And all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia. I got to thinking and meditating on this verse. Paul had a posse. He had some people that were with him. And I thought, that's pretty cool. He acknowledged the brothers who were with him. He was about to do some battle with some brothers that weren't with him, but he's saying, you know, you have yours, I got mine. And these brothers that are with me, they are saying, they're also wishing you the blessings that I'm blessing you with in the first few verses of his letter. He was about to battle these brothers that weren't with him. Paul had his Barnabas, Paul had his Silas, Paul had his Timothy, and Paul had those who were with him. Isn't it a comfort when you know that someone else is there? You know, all of us who've had children or have children, you know, with the thunderstorm that comes up. And the thunderstorm could be out there, but if our child runs to our arms, they're okay. It's just nice to know that you have somebody there with you in the storm. The other night, I was being myself, and our apartment lights were off, and Renee was getting ready for bed. I was getting ready for bed. And somehow she knew that I was going to try to scare her. I had no idea how she knew this. So she opened the door. She was walking down the hall, and she's like, are you sneaking up on me? And I didn't say a word. And then she turned around the corner. She looked at me, and I just went like this, and she let out a scream. She was alone. She didn't have her posse with her. It's just not fun being alone. You can get scared, but Paul had his posse. I think Paul would have been fine without his posse, but he had it, and he mentioned it. What's our posse? And this is good. This is what the Lord gave me, and I think it's really good. You know what our posse is? It's our church. We are your brothers and sisters who are with you. Together, we back each other up. We love each other. We work for each other. And when you hurt, we hurt. We are your brothers and sisters that are with you. When you need something, you can call your brothers and sisters because we are with you. As Paul invoked the name of his brothers who are with him, we are your brothers and sisters that are with you. And together, we are a church who cares about one another. God can provide you with companionship. Can God do that? God can. The next thing I'd like to talk about is Paul's gospel message was made plain in his invocation. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. The gospel itself was under attack in Galatia. You can't mount a more serious attack against the Lord than attacking the gospel. His salutation contains the unadulterated gospel. He's about to defend it, and he clearly delivers it. But he blesses the churches with this invocation of the gospel of peace. Grace and peace are part of the gospel. When someone takes the gospel and corrupts it and overlays it with other things and it's not the gospel anymore, the first thing that leaves is grace and peace. Anything that is not the gospel, that claims to be the gospel, will not deliver on grace and peace, because it is only through the gospel that invocation can have any merit. Paul claims the essence of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. He's talking about the double imputation here. He's saying, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, he gave himself. He said, I got a bargain for you. I want to trade your sins away. Give me your sins. And he delivered us from this present evil age, and he gave us his righteousness. That glorious exchange. Paul is setting the stage. He's making clear the gospel, the unadulterated, the true gospel. Christ delivers us from this present evil age by imputing on us God's righteousness. As it was God's will to make Paul an apostle, it was the Father's will to give him, for Jesus to give himself for our sins and deliver us from this age of sin. Can God do that? Can God take his son and have him crucified and then raise him from the dead? Can God? God can, and God did through Jesus. And this is the battle. These are the battle lines that Paul was drawing in his invocation. So let's talk about some applications and I'll be done. Have you been unbelieving? Have I been unbelieving? Do you have a doubt that God is able to place you where he wants you to be? You know, sometimes we just think we are the ones that have to figure things out. Especially, I think it's more prevalent with us guys. You know, we just got to know. We got to know what the next 10 steps are. We have to be able to figure it out. But do you know what? In that is an element of faithlessness. Our duty is to just know that we can trust, as the child in the arms of the mother during a thunderstorm, trust that everything is going to be okay. Are you desirous to sail away from Nineveh? Are you the one that says, I think I know what God wants me to do, but I'm counting the cost and I don't like it. I am going to run away. Let me tell you, if you are a child of God, God will chase you. And I think that God's disciplining hand is one of the greatest mercies of the Christian, because he loves us enough to leave the 90 and 9 and come and find us. He loves us enough to, when we stray, he will seek us. You cannot hide. You can run, but you can't hide. We cannot hide from God. If you're trying to do that, let me just encourage you not to do that. God can bring you back. Can God bring you back? God can bring you back. Have you been adding or subtracting to the truth of the gospel? Are you deceiving yourself about your being in Christ? Do you think you have faith in Christ? But, you know, I have to do this thing, or I have to do that thing, and then I'm okay. Are you bearing the weight of the legalistic, moralistic parts of the Bible that have nothing to do with the salvation that comes through Christ? That will rob you of your peace and rob you of your joy and maybe rob you of the true salvation that Christ is offering you. You might be deceiving yourself. Can God cut through that and bring you to Christ? God can. Don't be like the false teachers in Galatians who were trying to corrupt the gospel. Believe in the finished work of Christ. Christ can take away the sins of the penitent heart. Christ can clothe you in his righteousness. Let me invite all of us to call upon the Lord for wisdom in doing his will, for repentance unto eternal life, or forgiveness for fighting against what he would have us to do. Can God? God can. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Paul and his testimony, that you would take such a one as him and bring him to such a place as you did. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek your will and have confidence that you are able, that you are powerful enough, that you are desirous enough to do us good, to bring us to where you want us to go. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jacob, what's your question?